Welcome to the Yemei Ratzon Tefillah audio series with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we are learning the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, which comes from Yeshayahu Prakim Nun Zayin and Nun Chet, chapters 57 and 58. The Haftorah of Yom Kippur is startling. Let me read you Pasuk He in Perek Nun Chet, and you'll see what I mean. Hashem asks, HaKazeh Yetzom Avcharehu, Yom Anot Adam Nafsho, is this really the fast that I desire? A day that man or woman starves themselves? HaLakov Ka'agmon Rosho, Besak Ve'efer Yatzia, HaLazet Tikratzon V'yom Ratzon LaShem, is bowing one's head down and wearing sackcloth and ashes, is that a fast day, a day that Hashem would find favorable? It's a rhetorical question, but on face value, the answer should be yes. The biblical commandment on Yom Kippur is exactly that, Va'anitem et nafshotechem, and that's where we learn the halachot that causing our soul this suffering means fasting on the day of Yom Kippur. So yes, this is exactly what we're doing on Yom Kippur. Instead, this Haftorah undermines everything that we are engaging in at the present moment, the fasting, the lowering of our heads, the pounding of our chest during the Al Chetz, and even the canvas sneakers that we're wearing. Yeshayahu is not just taking on Yom Kippur, but also the universal method that all people have used to connect to God through the millennia. During the Civil War, even Abraham Lincoln called for a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. I'm going to read you a short excerpt from his proclamation. I do by this proclamation designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits, and to unite at their several places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by the divine teachings that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessing no less than the pardon of our national sins and the restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. And in fact, on April 30th of 1863, they did. It became this national fast day. So why then is Yeshayahu taking on the value of the fasting that we do on this most sacred day? If we continue reading in Psukim Vav and Zayin, Yeshayahu gives an alternate view of what this day might look like. Pasuk Vav, Halo Zetzom Avchareyu. This meaning like in contrast to the day that I described before, this is the day of Tzom that I would choose. And he goes on to list a number of actions. Number one, Piter Harbutzot Resha, Heter Agudot Mota, V'shalach Ritutim Chavshim, V'chol Mota Tinateku. So open up the bonds of wickedness and take the yoke that's kind of pressing down on all those who are oppressed, lift that yoke off of them, send all these people who are poor or oppressed, send them free and take off their yoke. Number two, it's Pasuk Zayin, Halo Faros L'Ra'ev Lachmecha, right? Give food to the person who's hungry. Va'aniyim Mirudim Tavi Bayit, bring people who are struggling, people who need food, bring them into your own home. Ki Tir'e Arom V'Chisito, if you see someone who needs clothing, clothe them. And finally, Umi B'Sarcha Lo Tit'alem, don't turn away from your own community, your own flesh and blood. Now, if we do follow through with this, Yeshayahu explains in Pasuk Tet, Az Tikra Vashem Ya'aneh. Then we'll call out and Hashem will answer us. Tishava Vayomer Hineni. Hashem will answer us, Hineni. It's a beautiful promise, really, because Hineni is almost what we think about as our own call to Hashem, our answer to Hashem. And here, Hashem says, I will answer Hineni to you, if this is what your days look like. Now, this call of Yeshayahu falls in line with other prophecies. Most famously, his prophecy in Yeshayahu Aleph, the Haftorah of Shabbat Chazon, where Yeshayahu questions the insincere sacrifices and even the tefillot that are offered in place of a society that's committed to pillars like tzedek and mishpat, justice and kindness. But there is something more complicated here, because what exactly is Yeshayahu suggesting as an alternative for Yom Kippur? He seems to be saying that we should turn Yom Kippur into a day of social justice. But this day of social justice is one that's actually the opposite of the Yom Kippur that we currently observe. Okay, so let's take a minute to step back and think about that. Let's contrast the ways that Yeshayahu describes Yom Kippur as we keep it now and as they kept it then with the Yom Kippur that he is demanding of us. And we'll see that there actually are opposites. Okay, so firstly, Yeshayahu described our observance of Yom Kippur as Yom Anot Adam Nafsho, which means a day of fasting. Instead, Yeshayahu demands, Pros l'ra'ev lachmecha, give food to the person who's hungry. Invite that person into your house. He's essentially asking for a day of se'uda, a day of eating. Number two, Yeshayahu said that we observe Yom Kippur as halakof ka'agmon rosho. We bow our heads. And in fact, we do bow our heads on Yom Kippur in, you know, the humiliation maybe that Abraham Lincoln spoke about, or in humility in standing in the presence of Hashem. But instead, Yeshayahu asks, what should we be doing? V'shalach ritutzim chafshim v'chol motat nateku, take the yoke that's burdening people. Take off that yoke. That taking off that yoke will actually allow people to lift up their heads. So instead of having heads that are bowed down, heads should be lifted up. And lastly, v'sakva efer yatsia. That's how we observe. We hear it's talking about sackcloth, signs of mourning. But Yom Kippur also, we wear our Crocs or our canvas sneakers. We don't wear certain clothing that we're used to. We do use practices associated with mourning, such as not washing our hands, etc. But instead, what should we do? Ki tir'eh arom v'chisito. If we see someone who needs clothing, we should clothe them, right? Don't hold back. Don't restrain the way that you're dressing. Instead, people should be able to dress. Make sure that people are able to dress the way that they want to dress. So is Yeshayahu actually asking us to get rid of Yom Kippur? The day he describes is noble, but it's not a Yom Kippur. It seems like he's asking us to take that day to volunteer in a soup kitchen or organize a clothing drive. Now, I heard a fascinating insight about this from Rav David Sabato, and it seems to me to get to the truth of this prophecy. He suggests that Yeshayahu is not asking us to get rid of Yom Kippur. The opposite. If anything, we need Yom Kippur more than ever. But we need to expand or maybe change the way that we're using the rituals of Yom Kippur. Yeshayahu describes a community that is careful about observing Yom Kippur and feels that their worship is sincere. And it's for that reason that earlier in the prophecy, Hashem describes the people as the people who are v'oti yom yom yidershun, v'dat darchai yechpatsun, right? Every day, these people, they are doresh me. They seek me out and they want to understand what are my ways. They desire them. And it's for that reason that the same community turns to Hashem and asks, lamat samnu v'lo ra'ita. Aninu nafshenu v'lo teda. We fasted and we still didn't see you. Aninu nafshenu, again, is kind of a synonym for fasting, but we deprived ourselves the way that you commanded us to, and we still feel that we don't know you. And Yeshayahu's response is yes. You are doing all the actions right. You're depriving yourself of food and clothing in order to mirror the angels and to connect to Hashem. But that's not the only or even the primary purpose of this type of self-deprivation on Yom Kippur. That deprivation is supposed to lead us to empathy towards others. Taking us out of our general comforts is not only to help us develop an inward connection with Hashem, but more importantly, it's to take us out of our bubble and teach us to lean outward and really relate to those who experience deprivation every day and not just on Yom Kippur. Yes, Yom Kippur is internal, and having a day of internal reflection is important. But more importantly, Yom Kippur is external. We need that day of self-limitation as a catalyst to turn outward and recognize the needs, both physically and I would add here also emotionally, of all the people who surround us. As Yeshayahu has taught us before, it's tempting, and maybe it's even our human nature, to use rituals to stay within ourselves. But the ultimate purpose of our experience is to move outward and recognize the needs of those who surround us. So I will close by wishing us all an introspective, but ultimately an outwardly focused Yom Kippur. And may our better understanding of our own neediness help us to relate with kindness and empathy, tzedek and mishpat, to the needs of others. Thank you for learning together. This series has been dedicated by Yitzchak and Barbara Lehman Siegel and family in memory of our beloved mother, Rose Siegel, Sarah Russa, Bat Rafael, and her beloved sister, Celia Feierstein, Cyril Bat Rafael of Baltimore, Maryland. Please visit ou.org/women/YR for a list of our daily sponsors.